Well, this is Garden Talk. I'm Jill Najo, and today we'll start out by talking about peony plants. And with us is Lisa Johnson. She is the UW Extension Horticulture Outreach Specialist for Dane County. What gardening questions do you have on your mind, either peony or chrysanthemum or whatever happens to be troubling you these days? Join in by calling 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. But before we get to Lisa, we are honored to have Wisconsin Public Radio Director Sarah Ashford in the studio with us. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning, Jill.
Good morning. Are you a gardener?
I'm not, but every time I listen on Fridays with Larry, I think I could be. I think I could.
It makes it doable. Our guests are so great. You know, they're great at explaining things. And that's the kind of thing you can expect from Wisconsin Public Radio. And at WPR, you know, listener contributions are the largest source of funding. And your gift keeps the programs that you value, including Garden Talk, on the air. So make your contributions right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
As many of us know now, in the past few months, Congress has rescinded funding for public media. WPR, though, we have been around since before federal funding came into our budget. We've been here for more than 100 years. We've existed through the decades, and we'll meet this challenge now to keep going as a service of WPR and keep bringing you programs like the Larry Mueller Show in Wisconsin Today and our classical music service. But the future, our ability to do that, we are counting on you as being a partner in doing that. We can keep WPR strong together. You can make a gift now to support WPR by going to WPR.org. You can also, if you'd prefer talking to someone, you can call 888-202-2552.
And sometimes it's nice to talk to a person.
It is sometimes. Sometimes it's a little easier. I was on the phone with the bank this morning, hitting all those pre-numbers,
trying to get
to a person. Sometimes it's nice to just call
really,
and talk
really
to someone.
It seems like it's quicker. It's quicker. So, as you would say, Sarah, we at Wisconsin Public Radio are committed to quality. And that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. I mean, think about that. It's just amazing. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR, that quality is possible thanks to you.
And you become part of this. You're part of this service. You already are as a listener. When you give, you're now part of the outstanding news and information service that you tune into, and so do so many others every day on WPR. You can make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120. And you're not only doing something good for yourself, but you're doing something good for the whole community. WPR is listener supported, and that's why your participation is so important. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This is Chad Spate, owner of Chad's Design Build. I support Wisconsin Public Radio because I feel the news, information, and connection we get here is so valuable, and I encourage you to join me. I'm offering a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000 in effect right now. WPR needs our help now more than ever. Here's someone to tell you how to double your impact.
Thank you so much, Chad. And you can help out by giving at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. This is the final day of the fall member drive. I'm Jill Nadeau in for Larry Mueller today, and I'm here with Sarah Ashworth. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount that you choose, has an important impact.
It is so wonderful to have this dollar-for-dollar match happening right now. It's a little extra incentive. Just think about your gift going a little bit further, powering public media just a little bit more. We have this generous match in place up to, looks like we now have $4,800 to go this hour.
Yay.
In matching funds. We would love to hit that $5,000 mark. We can only do it with your support right now by going to WPR.org or calling 888 888- 202-2552.
And ask for your WPR Canvas backpack this drive. This is a really nice quality bag. You can use it for a lot of stuff. It's a canvas, and it's got that wonderful logo that Grace designed that we had on our t-shirt last time. It's got the cow. It's got the violets.
All
it's
the
got,
WPR
And it's purple and orange, and Wisconsin. How happy is that? Yeah. So make that, ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Okay, let's go right over to Lisa. Lisa, do we have you?
I hope so.
Okay, we had a little technical problem, but that's okay. We had something to talk about before we had you on.
It's always fun.
Well, as we had said before, Lisa Johnson is back with us. She is the UW Extension Horticulture Outreach Specialist for Dane County. Lisa, it is kind of weird to talk about peonies in the fall. People look at me kind of strange, like, why would I talk about peonies in the fall? Why do we need to pay attention to them now?
Sure. Well, this is the best time of year to be dividing peonies, if you're going to divide them. And it's also a good time to plant bare root peonies if you're purchasing them. So sometimes you can find them in the garden center for purchase as bare root. And usually, at least here in the southern part of the state, you can plant well into October, maybe even November for bare root peonies. And you can also do your division up until about that time.
Great. So let's talk about bare root a second. I obviously can't talk today, but I'm sorry. Bare root for a second. What do we look for when we get for bare root? Because I have had terrible luck buying things bare root.
Okay. Well, for peonies, when you're looking at the bare root plant, you're going to see these kind of swollen roots, and then you're going to see these pink buds, which are usually referred to as eyes, just like on a potato.
Potato,
you know,
sure.
They refer to the buds as eyes. So you're looking for those. That's really critical in orienting the plant and making sure that it's not being planted too deep. You usually don't want those eyes to be any deeper than about an inch and a half or 2 inches below the soil. If it's lighter soil, more like 2 inches. If it is heavier soil, more like an inch and a half. One reason that peonies don't bloom is because they get planted too deep. So that's a really important thing to keep in mind. Another reason that they don't bloom is that they've been planted in too much sun, or that after they've been divided or planted bare root, sometimes they take a year off to recover from the transplant and division shock before they will bloom again.
So they should grow. They just should not.
They should
might
grow.
Not bloom. Okay.
Yeah, they might not bloom. They mm-hmm. might, but I wouldn't count on it.
Okay, now some of us have rows of peony in our yard, mm-hmm. but there's a hole here and there or something, and I know I have that problem. It's like, why didn't someone plant something between these two? So what's the process of going to the established ones and dividing them and filling in that hole?
Sure. Well, you cut down the leaves if there are any there. Now, I should say, if we're dealing with a Japanese tree peony instead of an herbaceous peony, we'll go through a slightly different process. So we'll pretend that we're just talking about the herbaceous peonies that die back to the ground right now, because those are certainly more common. And so after you've cut the leaves off, then you make a circle with your shovel. It's hard to say how far out from the leaves, but usually if you go about a foot to 18 inches, you should be safe. So you make a circle cutting through all the way around, and then you try lifting that peony up to see, you know, how far the roots spread and so on. You can shake some dirt off You may end up that peony roots are unfortunately brittle, and I've had the sad experience of breaking one. So do be careful while you're doing that. If the root system is extensive and you're worried about breaking it, you might want to actually use a hose with a one of the sprayers on the end and spray the soil off the roots so that it's clean and you can see what's going on. So that's one way of doing it. That's what we call bare rooting it. The other way is keeping it in a clump and doing your division that way. The problem is that it can be hard to find those buds without spraying off the soil. So you can try it either way, either by shaking off the soil or by spraying off the soil, as long as you can locate those pink eye buds. And then you would make sure your shovel is nice and sharp, and you make sure that each division has some eyes in it. I wouldn't get, you know, totally carried away and make a whole bunch of divisions. I would be a little bit more conservative and just divide it in two or maybe three.
And should we do that just by gently working it? Can we use, I mean, I've been known to use a serrated knife on some of my divisions. Is that, how do you separate the two?
Yeah, that is absolutely fair. You can use a pruning saw. You can use a lopper's. A serrated knife is fine, too. Just make sure that the blade is clean when you make that cut.
Okay. And should you, if you're doing more than one division, should you clean the blade between?
Yes, that's okay. An excellent thing to do. Mm-hmm. I'm always more caution, better.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, we had Lisa email us, and she said if you have plants that look like they have a fungal disease, should you cut them down this fall or leave them up for the insects to overwinter? Because I know peonies can get some guck on them too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, they are very prone to a number of diseases. Well, most of the insects that are going to be overwintering in stems are going to be overwintering in stems of native plants, and peonies are not native. So I would go ahead and cut down that diseased material and get it out of the garden.
Okay. And what's the best way to do that?
You can do that with scissors or pruning shears, and you can then bag it up and put it in the garbage if it's really awful looking.
Perfect.
I wouldn't try and compost it because it is diseased.
Yeah, you never know, right?
Right.
Yeah. We're talking with Lisa Johnson today. She's the UW Extension Horticulture Outreach Specialist for Dane County. And we'll be back with her in just a bit. If you've got a question, give us a call, 800-642-1234. And, of course, you can always send an email, and that's talk@wpr.org. And this is Garden Talk, and it is also the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Najoe, and I'm here with Sarah Ashworth. You know, your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Jill, I like how you emphasized huge.
Huge.
It's in all capitals because it is. Your gift makes a huge difference. This is our first member drive since federal funding was eliminated for public media. WPR will continue. We will continue to be your source for information, for inspiration, for connection. But your support is more important than ever. It's huge. We're preparing for the future, and that starts right now with your gift. You can make a gift at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
And if you've listened before, or if you just finished listening to Lisa Johnson, our Garden Talk gives you so much great information because, you know, there are sources out there. You can Google it. But do you know if you're getting the right information? Well, when we make sure that our guests have the right information for you. And it is possible because WPR is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and all the other hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. It just takes a few minutes and make your gift.
And you're supporting that trustworthy information and news. You can consider becoming a sustaining member because what that does is it provides us with a stable source of funding that we can count on and budget around here, which is more important than ever at WPR. More than half of our members, more than 27,000 WPR members are proud sustainers. And what that means is that they make an ongoing monthly gift to WPR.
And it's so nice because if you're like me, you don't need to think about it. You just want it to go. You know it's coming. You're happy with it. And just in case you're wondering, if you are a sustainer, you are eligible to get one of those wonderful gifts that we give out occasionally. But you can become a sustainer and keep that stream reliable. Just choose any amount, say $10 or $20 a month, and set it up to be ongoing. It's easy, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We welcome your gift of any amount in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. This drive, no matter the size of your gift, you can ask for the WPR sticker. It features Wisconsin's beloved symbols.
A dairy cow.
A honeybee.
A wood violet.
And Wisconsin Public Radio, of course. Ask for your sticker with your donation of any amount. Here's how.
All you need to do is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Jill Nadeau in for Larry Mueller today, and I'm here with Sarah Ashworth. And we would love for you to give your support at 888-202-2552. Have you seen that sticker, Sarah?
I have. It's wonderful. It's similar to what's on the duffel and what was on our t-shirt last spring.
Yes, yes.
It's great. It has WPR on it, of course. But then it has all these, as we just heard, all these different symbols of Wisconsin.
I didn't realize there was a B. I really need to look for the B. Apparently, I've missed it.
Yes, there's a lot.
There
on
is.
That design. It's
beautiful. Yeah,
because Wisconsin is rich and full and wonderful of so
it
many
is.
Things and trying to capture that.
It's so happy, too. You know, yes. I mean, things aren't always rosy, but you know, you look at this and it just makes you feel better. So.
It does. And we would love to send you one with your gift today. Now is a great time to donate as well because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect. We have about $4,800 to go. So when you make your gift now, we will match it. We would love to hit that number this hour. We can only do that with your support now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And that match is really important. You give $10 and we get $20. So, and if you give $150, then we get $300.
It is great math.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love that math. Times two. I can handle that one. So ask for your latest WPR sticker this drive. It features that colorful design. It's yours with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Denise in Stoughton says, we depend on WPR to be balanced and present new ideas. I love that. So join Denise with your gift now. It's powerful and really makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. And Lisa Johnson, thank you so much for being with us. As usual, we really appreciate the time you spend with us every year.
Thanks for asking me.
Well, we have Tom from Whitewater on, and he's got a peony question. Go right ahead, Tom.
Thank you so much. I am trying to resuscitate and revive my parents' peonies that they planted back in 1960. The last 3 years in a row, instead of being green and lush and having beautiful flowers, early in the year they're overtaken by brown spots. They remind me of tomato blight. And it just spreads throughout the entire plant. And by midsummer, they're just laying almost flat on the ground and they look terrible. And I'm trying to figure out what can I treat them with? What can I do, if anything, they, like I say, this is our third year in a row of having this disease attack them.
Okay. There are a couple of different leaf spot diseases. I know Septoria is one of them, but the person that you should really talk to is Brian Huddleston at the Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic, and he could better advise you on what products would work for that.
And Dr. Death himself, Brian, will be with us. Is it next? I think it is next Friday. Yes. Thank you, Jeff. He's giving me the thumbs up. He looked at the calendar. What a unique approach. So he will be here next Friday, I believe 12 to 1. And so you can call in again, but it's always best to be able to see it. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, if you can send him a picture by email, that would be great. And you can find Brian's email address by just looking up the Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic, or PDDC, with a simple internet search.
Right. And I believe there's a small charge for that, right?
Yes, there is a charge for a digital diagnosis.
Yeah, because he likes to get paid.
Well, he does have a clinic. He has the support and student workers. He could also, the caller could also try sending it to me first. And if I'm by chance able to identify it, there isn't a charge for sending it to me.
Okay. And that, your email address, Lisa, is?
Is johnson.lisa@DaneCounty, all one word, all lowercase, .gov.
G-O-V. Okay, great. Thank you, Lisa. And that really is your job, isn't it? To help people with their gardening problems or questions.
It is definitely a part of my job. Right now I have 19 questions in my inbox that I'm trying to deal with.
So my goodness. Wow.
It may take a little while.
So that's why you have such a deep depth of knowledge, is because you've been doing this for quite a while.
I have. I've been with Extension. I've been privileged to be here since 2000, and I love the learning part of my job. It's great when somebody asks me a question that I don't know the answer to, and I get to do research. I get to interact with our wonderful specialists, add to my knowledge base, and best of all, hopefully find an answer for somebody that has a question.
Yeah, I think that most of the people here at WPR feel the same way. I mean, we like to learn things. I love having a new topic to talk about. So
lifelong learning, right?
Absolutely. It's the way to stay young, if you ask me. We did get a question from Maggie in central Wisconsin. She said, aside from peonies, can you suggest when and how to best harvest and then plant milkweed seeds now that autumn is here?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Milkweed seeds are, I mean, they're pretty easy to harvest. There are a couple of ways of going about it. One is to, before the seed pod is totally brown or gray and cracked, you want it to be brown, but you can open it up carefully and have a, I usually recommend having a metal bucket nearby, and you can gently kind of scrape the seeds out. Now, they do come with that little floss or
yes.
Some people call it a parachute, and if you harvest before the pod is completely dry, you can often kind of gently separate the two pretty easily. If you wait until the floss is drier, then it's a lot harder to separate the two. But if you are getting it while the floss is dry, that metal bucket, if you put it in there, and then make sure there are no flammables in the area, but drop a lighted match in there, and it will, up will go the floss, and it will leave the seeds unharmed.
I was wondering why you wanted a metal bucket. Now you've explained that to me. Oh,
yep.
Okay. So then what?
I learned that from a restorationist here in Madison, and that was how they do it. But the other method works very well too, if you can get to them before they get too dry.
Okay.
And then you want to keep the seeds someplace cold and dry over the winter. You could just put them in a little Ziploc bag and put them in the refrigerator. You just want to make sure that it's not something that has air leaking into it. You want a good seal, so that's why Ziploc works pretty well. You can either I would have to look this up to make sure that they don't need stratification. And stratification, moisture stratification, would mean that you would store them in something like wet sand in your refrigerator. I would just need to look that up and see. You know, with wildflower seeds, most of them do need some kind of stratification because they're designed to have to go through winter, right?
Right, yeah.
And so some of them need actually more than 1 year, and others are going to need just a single year, and they often will need this stratification process. Some of them only need like 30 days, and they may just need it dry, or they may need to have it moist, not, you know, wet, but moist.
Okay.
So one place to go where they have really excellent information. Now, I usually don't recommend, you know, commercial companies, but there are a couple companies that have really excellent information on many different species, and one of those is Prairie Moon,
mm-hmm.
and the other is Prairie Nursery here in Wisconsin.
Yes, absolutely. I just read this the other day. This is just something for all you trivia people out there, but during World War II, to make the floating devices, personal floating devices, life preservers, basically, they used that fluff from milkweed because they didn't have whatever else they were using, down or what have you, before. I just thought that was a wonderful way to use things that you already have. But can you imagine how much you would need to stuff a life preserver?
I have heard this too. I've also heard that there was another plant that was used that was even more common, but I think they actually had school kids help with harvesting some of these.
Wonderful.
Interesting history.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you for that question, Maggie. Good luck with getting your milkweed seeds to go. And just be careful where you put them because they do like to self-seed throughout your garden. Not that I have any experience in that. Anyway, anything that we... you know what? We want to talk about the tree peony, Lisa. You said that's different. How do we treat those tree peonies we can't really divide them, do we?
You can still dig up the roots that have the eyes on them, but you can't cut them back because they're woody, right?
Sure.
And so you don't want to cut them to the ground like you would with an herbaceous peony.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you can still dig them up and, you know, separate the roots that have eyes on them. So that can be done.
Okay.
But it's a little harder because you have to work around the plant.
Sure. If you've got a question for Lisa about peonies or anything else, she can probably answer it for you. Remember, she likes to be challenged. Our number, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We've got open lines. You can also send us an email, of course, and that's talk@wpr.org. Lisa, we were going to talk about chrysanthemums, too. They are some gorgeous plants out there right now, and it seems like you can buy them pretty much everywhere. What are the chances of those being, if we plant them in the ground, of them coming back again in the spring?
Well, it depends. They can be a bit fussy. In fact, the very best time to plant them is in the spring, so that they get the whole season to establish. But many times you don't get the variety, and of course you can't see them blooming
right.
At that time of year. But nevertheless, you can find at least some cultivars at most nurseries in spring. But if you're going to plant in fall, planting them as early as possible is helpful. Also, making sure that when you're planting, that you're planting them someplace that drains really well. The biggest killer of chrysanthemums is wet feet over the winter. They don't like super heavy clay, and they particularly don't like it in wet areas. And when we have winters where we have rain on top of snow and then the rain percolates through and freezes around the root systems, ooh, that's really bad. So it can be difficult. Nevertheless, I still advocate trying it because...
What the heck, right?
I mean, they're beautiful. You don't have to buy the biggest sized one that's out there. In fact, sometimes the smaller ones seem to... actually establish better. Also, make sure that you don't cut them all the way back to the ground. They've done some research, and it appears that the stems actually help protect the crowns over the winter, so maintain at least 12 inches of stem.
Oh, 12 inches. Well, that makes a whole lot of sense. Let's go real quick to Alex in Shawnee County and with a question for you. Go ahead, Alex.
I have a problem with my muskmelons not ripening. I've been growing them for 4 years, and the first year it was excellent and bountiful. Next year, not so much. The next year, not so much. And this year, I didn't get any melons that were even partially ripe.
Wow. Is this all the same variety?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been trying to grow the same variety every year?
Yes.
Of melon. Okay. And are you rotating your crops? You're not planting them in the same area every year?
The second year I planted in the first place, and then there wasn't as much, so I went to the far end of the garden, about 50 feet away, and planted another.
Okay.
And then the year after that, so 1 and 2 years, 2 years in the same spots.
Okay. What is the maturity date, or not date, but period that's listed on your particular one? I'm wondering whether it's a variety that needs a longer growing season than we can support here.
Or 87 day. All the seeds I plant in my garden, I always, my choice is always the shortest growing season.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, that sounds like you did your duty there. Have you tried starting them indoors, or are you just putting them out in the soil?
Indoors, like it's recommended.
Yep.
And the
okay.
plants are maybe 6 or 8 inches big, and I transplant them out there. They don't do anything. They don't grow. And the seeds I plant in that patch sprout up and grow and catch up with the ones that I started indoors.
Yeah. And that is often the case with cucurbits. That, you know, if you start them inside and transplant them, that they don't always do as well as the ones that you put directly in the soil. But, of course, the soil has to be warm enough in order for them to germinate. And sometimes that's later in the year for us to, you know, and it's too late to get a good harvest. That is
another thing I have. I had my soil tested. My soil is – it's – overly, it has too much potassium, too much calcium, too much phosphorus, adequate organic matter. Mm-hmm. So the soil is very, very rich.
Yeah, so that shouldn't be the problem. I'm sorry, where did you say you were from again?
Shawnee County.
Shawnee. I am wondering if, have you tried using black plastic around the base?
No.
To warm up the soil?
No, I haven't. Uh-huh.
I know up in the northern part of the state, people will often do that. And maybe, I'm just still thinking it must be some kind of timing thing. It sounds like your soil is perfectly fertile. And so I would try that. I would still keep the direct seeding, but I would try putting some black plastic around the planting area and, you know, just cut a hole in the center. Make sure that it's big enough that you can water, but and then keep that on there for like the first month and see if that speeds up your process any.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Lisa, and thank you for that question, Alex. Good luck. Lisa Johnson's back with us today. She's the UW Extension Horticulture Outreach Specialist for Dane County. WPR is everywhere, and right now we are in the garden. This is Garden Talk. I'm Jill Nadeau, and it is also the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and Sarah Ashworth is with us. I think I need to leave and let her take over because I obviously can't speak today. And you know what? We're here to tell you that your support is essential to the funding for all the programs that you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. This drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We had a kind of sad summer, didn't we, Sarah?
Yes, yes. Yes, the challenges to public media, you know, in recent years, they are some of the steepest challenges that we've had. And by the way, you're doing a fabulous job, Jill. As long as you get that phone number correct and WPR.org, that is all that matters. And we should do this for Larry. He's not here today, but, you know, we have
do
this challenge
yeah.
in place, this dollar for dollar. We have... what, 15 minutes left to raise another $1,700
oh,
or so
no problem.
In matching funds? We can do
we
this.
We can do that.
We'd love to tell Larry when he's back that, hey, we did it. The Larry Mueller Show Garden Talk met that challenge. We would love to hear from you now. It's really important at this moment, as you were just saying, Jill, with the cuts to federal funding for public media. We can keep WPR strong together, though, here in Wisconsin. Your gift is important now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you have never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, we are especially talking to you this drive. You know, we have other ways of contacting our current members, but the best way that we have to contact you to tell you what's going on is that if you, to the listener who hasn't given yet, is through the drives.
That's why we're here.
That's right. That is why we're here. We want to know who you are. No, that sounds creepy. That's not what we mean.
We would love to
get to
have
know
a
you.
Friendly relationship as you support and become a member of WPR.
And don't forget, our dollar for dollar match is still in effect, and there's room for your gift to be matched. So if you can give $30 a month, some lovely person named Chad Spate will also give $30 a month. That means we get $60 a month, and that makes all the programs that you listen to, that makes them actually. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
We are still here. We are asking for your support. I wasn't sure when we're going back to Lisa.
Whenever. whenever. We still have a little bit more to tell you about. There's that canvas
backpack.
So
much good
backpack.
Conversation to come. We do have a canvas backpack. Good. Good thought, Jill. The canvas backpack has the WPR logo on it. It has these symbols that represent Wisconsin. And really, it's a way to show your support of WPR. It's yours with a gift of $22 a month. That means you become a sustaining member of WPR at $22 a month. We'll thank you with this great canvas backpack. You can take a look at it and make your membership gift at WPR.org right now. You can also call 888-202-2552.
James in Stoughton says, I appreciate the diversity of broadcasters and guests interview on WPR. So do we, James. Be like James. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And I just hit the microphone. Oh my gosh, thank goodness it's Friday. Hey, Lisa, we have another question for you. Maggie in Mount Horeb. Go right ahead. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, this is Margie in Mount Horeb, and thank you so much for being there. We really appreciate public radio. That's all we listen to at home and in the car and in the gardens.
Well, bless you, Margie. Margie, thank you so much.
And I have a question. I have itoh peonies. That's I-T-O-H. And I have been told to leave them alone and they'll come back, or cut them off in the fall. And I'm not sure exactly what the right thing to do is. I have several of them. Help.
That was a help call. So.
Yeah. How long have you had your peonies?
Some I've had, I've always had peonies. I've had peonies all of my life. I have my grandmother's peonies, but those are herbaceous. And the itoh peonies I've had for about 6 years. I started getting them about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. So I'm just kind of collecting them, but I'm not sure what to do. Some I've cut back, some I haven't.
Yeah, so the itoh peony, it's a hybrid between herbaceous peonies and tree peonies. So it should have that kind of woody stem. Is that what you see?
I see woody stem on three of them, and a more herbaceous stem on about five of them.
Interesting. Okay. Well, because they have that tree peony in them, I would leave the stems up, and you should have buds on them that should overwinter, and you should have your branches and flowers from them come next year.
Okay. Well, Bartella does that really well, but
yes, I've had that one. It's beautiful.
Okay, well, thank you for the question, Margie. You know, talking about cutting things back, we inevitably get questions around this time of the year, well, pretty much all the time, about hydrangeas. And there's so many different kinds these days. How do you know when to, if you should cut them down, or do you do it in the fall, do you do it in the spring, or how do you know what you should do?
Well, the answer to whether to cut it back in the fall or the spring is yes. because different species need to be cut back at different times. There are some species that bloom on what we call old wood, which is wood that was created this year. So the buds that we have right now are the ones that are going to bloom next year. And others are bloom on new wood, which hasn't even been created yet. So those you can cut back in the early spring. So you kind of need to know what kind you have, and often that can be a little bit of a difficult thing to figure out. So what I usually ask people is, when it blooms, what shape are the blooms, and when do they bloom, and what color are the blooms? So if you have a big white round snowball type bloom, that is probably a hydrangea arborescens, which is actually it's a native plant, although what we generally find in the stores are the Annabelle or Incredible or other cultivar that has mostly sterile or completely sterile flowers on it. So those you can cut back to the ground either in the late fall or early spring. Those bloom on new wood. You can also leave them up halfway if you prefer to do that, but you're still going to get, you know, most of your blooms on the new wood.
Now, those are kind of traditional ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the more old-fashioned ones. If you have rounded blooms, but they are pink or they're blue, probably what you have is a hydrangea macrophylla or big leaf hydrangea. Those typically bloom on old wood, so the buds need to overwinter. Now, there are the whole new line of so-called, our woody plant specialist calls them endless bummer instead of endless summer hydrangeas, because they often they are supposed to have both new wood and old wood blooming capability, but often that doesn't work quite so well here, and we often tend to not get them to bloom very well. But if you have those, I would try and protect the plant over winter if you can. Put a bushel basket over it, or a big container or something to protect those buds over winter. Those don't need a whole lot of pruning usually, and if you do prune them right after they bloom.
Okay, thank you for that, Lisa. Lisa Johnson's back with us today. She's a UW Extension Horticulture Outreach Specialist for Dane County, and she'll be back again in the second hour of the show. But right now, we want to tell you about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Najoe. I'm in for Larry Mueller today, and I'm here with Sarah Ashworth. And we want to tell you that listeners, and that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR, and this is the chance for you to support all of the programs that you enjoy, especially ours. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you. And people are giving. We did it, everyone. We met the match this hour. Thank you
That's so wonderful.
We are so appreciative. Right now is a pivotal moment for public radio stations all across the country, including, of course, here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Federal funding was eliminated over the past summer. Although that federal funding was not the biggest piece of our budget, that's always been listeners. That's you. The loss is still significant. This is the moment to step up, keep public media strong in Wisconsin. We do that together with your gift now. Thank you to everyone making a gift this hour. You can still do so at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we appreciate it so, so much. And like we just heard from an expert like Lisa Johnson, all about cutting down hydrangeas, can you not? That can make, you know, next year's garden a lot nicer if you know exactly what to do. And it's those kind of experts that you can expect to find here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And that's because we are listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and all the other hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
You've been a listener of WPR. Now you can become a member of WPR. It's a distinction that I think you'll feel the next time that you listen to the Larry Mueller Show or Garden Talk, knowing that you've helped produce it. You're helping to support this programming on the air with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, Larry Mueller here. Today's the last day of our fall member drive, and I can't wait to get the news of how the drive went. I hope to hear that you hit it out of the park. Listener support has always been important to WPR, especially with the loss of federal funding. It's more important than ever. Support the programs you rely on and help us end this drive big. Make a gift today. Here's how.
Well, thank you, Larry. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Jill Najoe, and I am here with Sarah Ashworth. And we're asking you for your support, just like Larry did, because you value the programming here on WPR. Tell us about it. Give right now for our fall member drive, maybe $10 a month, maybe $100 a month, whatever you choose. It makes a difference for our entire community.
And we have good news for Larry when he's back.
Yes,
we have made our match in this 11 o'clock hour. We've had a really strong week where it's so gratifying to see the support, the number of people who are saying that WPR matters. It matters to my life. It matters here in Wisconsin. It matters to our future, and we want to support it. And we're so grateful in this moment of challenge with the loss of federal funding. Your support is making a difference. You can join in right now on this last day of the fall member drive by making a gift at WPR.org or calling 888-888. 202-2552.
Like Brian in Verona says, as a child, I discovered WPR on the radio, and it was such a gift, and I want future generations to enjoy it too. If you agree with Brian, give us a gift right now. It's so powerful. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. You're listening to Garden Talk, and today is the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Time to show your support. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm in for Larry Mueller, and I am here with Andrea Balestrieri. Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
I don't think we've heard from you on this show before, have we?
I actually don't think I've ever been on the show either.
Well, welcome, and thank you for coming. Are you a gardener?
I would love to be, but I am also the person who acknowledges that I will not commit the time to it.
Yes, you need things that last and don't need a lot of attention.
Yes.
So that's out there. And
it
is. Maybe we'll ask Lisa Johnson when we get back about how she can help you with things that don't
quite. In a very sunny yard.
Very sunny yard that don't quite. I know where she's going to go with this, but
okay,
we'll let her tell you. But in the meantime, you out there as a WPR listener, you know that you're going to always hear something interesting when you tune in, especially on Garden Talk. And that is thanks to your support. You know, listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. And when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
That's right. Listeners are the single largest source of funding for the Larry Mueller Show and all of the WPR programs that you love. And this summer, federal funding for public media was a limited, making listener support more important than ever. There are challenges ahead, but together we are going to keep WPR strong. So give right now. Show your support for Larry and all the programs that you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, the largest slice of funding for WPR, the biggest, most reliable slice, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that is what it is, thanks to your support. So keep us independent. Keep us with the high-quality programs that we air by giving now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's very likely that WPR is probably a preset at home or in your car, maybe both your home and your car. You listen
yes.
to WPR a lot. You tune in every Friday for Garden Talk. Help pay for this station that you enjoy so much by becoming a member today.
Join us. Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month or at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, Larry Mueller here. Today's the last day of our fall member drive, and I can't wait to get the news of how the drive went. I hope to hear that you hit it out of the park. Listener support has always been important to WPR, especially with the loss of federal funding. It's more important than ever. Support the programs you rely on and help us end this drive big. Make a gift today. Here's how.
All you have to do is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's right. This is the Fall Member Drive. Last day, I'm here with Andrea Balestrieri. And listener support, of course, is the biggest source of funding for WPR. And we want to thank everyone who has given during our Fall Member Drive. And because of you, we have been able to unlock an additional $10,000 in challenge funds for WPR already today. Isn't
that
wonderful?
That's amazing. It's such a good way to end this drive.
Oh my gosh. It just warms our hearts, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does to know y'all care what we do.
And we know that you want to listen to all you can of Garden Talk today. So we've made it really easy for you to give. It's going to take just a few minutes. You're going to give us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And, you know, you think about it, what can you spend $10 on? You can buy, you know, something good at a restaurant, or you can maybe buy a book. You can do some apps on your phone. You know, all these things that, you know, they kind of make your day better. Well, so does Wisconsin Public Radio. So with a gift of $10 a month, you can make a difference for the public service that you rely on.
That's right. When you support WPR, you're going to join this community of tens of thousands of people who give what they can for the programs they value. So join in right now. Give a gift of, let's say, $10 a month, but whatever amount is right for you is the right amount to give. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you haven't donated yet, there's still time to do so. Help us meet our challenge goal of $300 or $300 more. Thank you to everybody again who's given during the fall member drive. And, you know, you can become a sustainer, can't you, Andrea?
You can. It's so easy and convenient to set up these ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card and get started with that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And like Jennifer in Madison says, WPR is a great way to keep informed on a wide variety of topics. So join Jennifer with your gift right now. It's powerful and really does make a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And again, thank you so much. Lisa Johnson, you still out there?
I am.
Wonderful. Thank you for, again, waiting through all the time we're talking to the listeners about our fall member drive. We appreciate you sticking with us.
Sure. I did just want to quickly finish up the hydrangeas because there were two more species we didn't cover.
Of course not. We did not. Go right ahead.
Okay. So if you have a hydrangea that has teardrop-shaped flowers and blooms later in the summer, that type of hydrangea, like Pinky Winky, terrible name, or Quickfire, or any of those types, those bloom on new wood, so they can be cut back in the spring. So I did just want to hit on those.
Yeah, we're always kind of limited by time. And thank you for following up, Lisa. Really, really appreciate that. And if you've got a question for Lisa, give us a call, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We've got open lines. We can get you on before we take another break. That would be wonderful. Or you can send an email, and that's talk@wpr.org. So Lisa, my friend Andrea here was just mentioning that she would love to be a gardener, but she does not have the time. But she has a sunny yard that she would love to make look beautiful. What suggestions do you have for her that make, you know, that would look great, but don't, you know, make her stay out in the garden, you know, all the time?
Sure. Well, it depends on the types of things that you want to grow. For one, if you wanted to grow vegetables, for example, putting in some raised beds that you don't have to till or do anything like that might be a good thing to do, or growing vegetables in containers. Growing flowers in containers is always an easy thing to do. All that you have to do is make sure that you have some place to store the pots over the winter. Bigger pots will not dry out as fast as smaller pots, so those are some time-saving things that you can think of as well. Keeping your pots near the house and near your water source so that you don't have to, you know, walk too far, and you can easily keep them deadheaded and whatever. It's really pretty easy to come up with some of these simple things that you can do that can allow you to enjoy the joy of having plants.
That's right. Yeah, pots are great. And there's some things that you can add into the soil that will help retain moisture so you don't have to water them quite so much, which I love myself because I do have, oh gosh, it's wilting. I better get out there. But she could also have a prairie garden, couldn't she, with a nice lawn with lots of sun.
Well, yes, but the first 3 years are going to be highly labor intensive.
Oh, she's willing to do that. But you are right. But once it's established, though, then we have lower maintenance.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, and I certainly always encourage people to plant natives, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, they really are wonderful, and they get those pollinators in.
Mm-hmm.
How have you had pollinators-wise this year? I have noticed a lot more monarchs and other things. Have you seen the same thing?
Yeah, and particularly bumblebees. Now, it might be partly because I took a wonderful class from a woman named Judy Cardine, who's actually related to Joy Cardine.
I was going
to
ask, yeah.
Yes.
Is that her sister?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And so I believe her Facebook group is Midwest Bumblebee Observers, or it's something like that. And she puts out great information about bumblebees, wonderful pictures. She's a whiz at identifying them. But I learned that I have an easier time identifying plants because plants don't move around.
True.
But yeah, I have noticed a lot of bumblebees this year. Other kinds of bees, like sweat bees, I've noticed quite a few of them. The leafcutter bees, oh my goodness, they were busy this year. And yeah, I have seen a few monarchs this year. I'm kind of waiting for, I usually see some red admirals and so on in the fall. I haven't seen those yet, but still looking. I did see some swallowtails this year. So, yeah, there's lots going on, and I think it's partly because people are planting more natives. A lot of our bees are pollen specialists, and they can't just use any old pollen to raise their young. They can take nectar from a lot of different plants, but some bees can only take pollen from certain plants or certain groups of plants in order to feed their young. And if they don't have them, well, they can't reproduce.
Yeah, that's really important. I know you had mentioned earlier that our, you know, all those really important pollinators and other insects need to overwinter somewhere, and they usually try to overwinter in native plants, right?
Well, there is a percentage of them that overwinter in the ground, and then there are others that, yes, like you say, overwinter in plant stems, and typically they have evolved over time to seek out certain plant stems to overwinter in, and often it'll be a larva that is overwintering there and not the adult. But sometimes, like with bumblebees, only the one of the new queens survives and will restart the colony for next year. So she has to find a cavity of some kind to overwinter in.
And we know that the leaves are going to be dropping relatively mm-hmm. soon, and winter will be upon us. What are some of the things that we should be thinking about doing right now in the garden, and then when it starts getting chilly?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that I have a whole class on that subject.
Do you really, Lisa?
I do. A whole two-hour class through our Green Thumb Gardening online classes, and that one's going to be on October 23rd at 5:30. If you want to register for that class, just look up Dane County Extension Green Thumb Gardening, and that will get you to the registration page. You can register for the whole series, or you can register for selected classes. But there are different things that you do for the vegetable garden, for the lawn, for your perennials. It's hard to even know where to where to start.
Let's talk about vegetables first. How did that? Did that help?
Oh, that is very helpful. Thank you. So the first thing that you want to do, if frost is threatening and you still have green tomatoes out there, be sure and collect those and bring them inside, because you can ripen them inside off of the vine. You should clean up particularly any plants that are diseased. Like at this time of year, a lot of our cucurbits, our cucumbers, melons, etc., have powdery mildew on them, and you want to get rid of all that diseased material. Tomatoes are the poster child for plant disease, so
yes,
they definitely should be pulled out. I'm not a big fan of composting diseased material. I'd rather bag it and put it in the trash so that it's not going to be any kind of inoculum for the next year. If you have pulled things up and planted cover crops, which is a great thing to do, obviously you want to leave those cover crops over winter. It's probably getting a little late now to seed, but you might be able to put in some oats and peas, possibly, and get those going so that your soil is not bare over winter. Another thing you can do is you can cover the soil with straw over winter so that you don't get erosion and so on, and then till that in next year, or pull it off and move it into paths if you are not wanting to do tilling type gardening, which is a fine idea.
Right.
So lots of different things that you can do now. You can start mixing in some compost to your soil for next year.
Oh, so many
all
things.
Kinds of things. So yeah. Many things.
Well,
that's
and
why
if you,
it's a 2-hour class.
That's right. So if you want more, no more information, you got to sign up for that class. And where do they go again, Lisa?
Just look up Dane County Extension Green Thumb Gardening.
Okay. We've been talking with Lisa Johnson. She is the UW Extension Horticulture Outreach Specialist for Dane County, and she'll be back, or she's with us for the rest of the hour, and we'll be back to talk with her. If you have a question, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email. That's talk@wpr.org. And this is Garden Talk on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Jill Nadeau in for Larry Mueller today, and I am here with Andrea Balistrieri to talk to you about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
Listener support, of course, makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on, and that's why your gift is so important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and it's really important.
That's right. Thanks to member support, Wisconsin has this robust public radio network with programs that inform, engage, and educate. With the elimination of federal funding for the public media last summer, member support is more important than ever, so your gift right now during this last day of our fall member drive is important in helping keep our future strong. So give.
It certainly is. And that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm sorry I stepped on your line there, Andrea.
You're just excited. I'm
just
excited.
So excited.
It's the last day of the drive. It's been going great. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you all so, so much. We've been, every time we give someone we put a challenge out there, we meet it and in record time.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you all so much. And if you gave and you're not a sustainer, maybe you want to change that, or if you want to give because there's plenty of time still, when you do that, become a sustainer. It's a really great way to give monthly gifts without having to think about it, and you can get it, take it right out of your bank account or your credit card.
That's right, and many people choose to give $10 or $20 a month, maybe $50. You choose whatever amount is right for you, and then you become a sustainer. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, Larry Mueller here, and as I talk to you, I am wearing my WPR cap, my WPR t-shirt, and my WPR socks. It's nice to have quality WPR merch to show off as you're out and about. In this drive, we're offering the WPR Canvas Backpack. USA made, attractive design, big enough to hold groceries, picnic lunch, anything else. Give $22 a month or more and ask for your new WPR Canvas Backpack. Here's a colleague to tell you how.
This is Larry's colleague, Jill. All you have to do is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. And I'm here with Andrea Balistrieri. And just to tell you that your support during this fall member drive, it makes all the things that you value, the news, the conversations, the gardening advice. It makes it all possible. So your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And it's not a lie. Larry really does have all of the stuff.
You noticed that.
I do.
You did notice that.
He has all of it. Yeah. He wears it all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Really is
it's hilarious. True. He's sitting in here in the studio with his WPR hat on with the headphones over it every single day. So picture that, everybody.
Yes. And you can also get the WPR sticker this drive with your gift of any amount. Today is the last day of our drive, so get in with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month. Whatever you want to choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And with that, let's go back to Lisa Johnson. Lisa, we have a caller. It's Diane in Rock City. Go ahead, Diane.
Greetings. I've been enjoying the show while I make some carrot cake.
Oh, yum. You're going to send us some of that, right, Diane?
Right. But what I was calling about, you'd mentioned the butterflies. Last year, it was kind of a dismal year having them around. My two of my daughters and myself actually grow milkweed. We look for the eggs, and then we, I guess you could say propagate the little caterpillars indoors. It's a labor of love. You have to keep giving them fresh milkweed. And this year, I'll be releasing over 100. I just released two today. My two daughters, one's in North Aurora, Illinois. The other is in Janesville, Wisconsin. They're well over 100 each already.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you, Diane. Have you ever done that, Lisa?
No, I have not myself. And to tell you the truth, I think that's wonderful, but there is some controversy about doing it. But if you do it properly, it can work. And certainly, we do want to increase our monarchs. They've been just decimated by all kinds of things, ranging from pesticides to losing their habitat where they overwinter in Mexico to some terrible storms that, because they do overwinter in just these very few areas in the mountains in Mexico, losing millions of them. So I'm glad to hear that the monarchs are doing well for our caller.
Absolutely. And yes, you're right. We have talked to entomologist P.J. Leash about that a number of times. And I think it has a lot to do with making sure you don't have too many at a time in one contained area, right?
Yeah.
So do your research and then, make more monarchs. Make more monarchs. Yes, absolutely. So what are some of the other things we need to, one of the things I always talk to people about is their leaves on their lawn, okay? Mm-hmm. What do you think we should do with those leaves?
Okay, well, leaves on the lawn should not be left on the lawn because lawn grasses don't, tolerate it very much. But you should rake those into your flower beds and then leave them alone. I have been over the years a big user of shredded bark mulch, and I have discontinued that practice, and I am now just using leaf mulch. It takes me some getting used to as far as the aesthetics, but I realized I was an insect mass murderer by not leaving all those leaves in place, and I'm trying to improve my karma.
Well, we'll talk to the governor about a full pardon, Lisa.
Yeah, so yes, definitely leaving leaves on the ground is a great thing for I didn't realize fireflies need that. And I had a ton of fireflies this year. I heard other people did too, so it's probably not just my leaf practices, but yes, definitely leave as many of them as you can.
Now, do you mulch the leaves up before you put them in your bed or just leave them whole?
Well, I don't have a lawn. All of my yard space is garden.
Gee,
so
what a surprise.
I know. So I do rake them off the paths, but most of the others, I just leave them where they fall.
Mm-hmm.
For my mother's yard, I do just rake them onto the beds. I don't pile them first.
I've been doing that for a long time, mainly because I'm a lazy gardener and it just is easier. I don't, bagging all this stuff is crazy, but I do have a few patches of lawn, so I will mulch them up with the lawnmower, and I do that with my grass clippings too. They just go right back on the beds.
Yeah, you know. And that's absolutely fair for mm-hmm. lawn grass, and it's a good way to get nutrients back into the ground.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
If there are a lot of leaves, then I, usually will rake some of them first and mm-hmm. then mulch up the rest of them with the lawnmower.
Right. And I don't know, I think they look kind of nice. If that's the way they do it in nature, why should we be any different?
Exactly. And it adds those nutrients back into the ground.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are a lot of benefits. The only not-so-benefit is if your leaf layer is too thick sometimes.
Good.
Bulbs
Good point.
And other things are going to have some trouble coming up through them.
Mm-hmm.
But just leaving them all year, you don't have to rake them off at any particular point in time. Yeah. Just rake them on, leave them there, and then repeat
Next year. Absolutely. Thanks for that, Lisa. If you have a question for her, give us a call, 800-642-1234. And of course, you can send an email. That's talk@wpr.org. Haven't had a lot of calls. I understand why, but we are here. We've got a few minutes that we can answer that question. I think everybody's outside in their garden, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. another thing we can return to is that first question about the milkweeds.
Yes.
I did look up the seeds, and I checked out about three different, we have about, I think, 12 to 14 different species of milkweed here in Wisconsin. And the three that I looked at only needed 30 days of stratification.
Okay.
And so they do need some stratification. And basically what that is you mix the seeds into some damp, not wet, sand usually is the best thing to do. And then you put that in a Ziploc and you put it in your refrigerator at 33 to 38 degrees for 30 days.
Okay. Because we don't want them to freeze, right?
Right. And we also don't want them to be in there for 60 days because then they might start to sprout.
Oh, that would be bad. Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks for going back to that and looking that up for us. We've got Fred in Green Bay who has a question for us. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks for going back to that and looking that up for us. We've got Fred in Green Bay who has a question.
Hello, Fred?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
We have a large number of bulbs that we had purchased to put in the spring, but then a construction project and lawn stuff never really gotten taken care of. Wondering if we would be able to save them over the winter and how best to do that.
So what kind of bulbs do you have?
There's all kinds of things, actually. A lot of them are alliums. Let's just go with that.
Okay, so if you have alliums or tulips or crocus or all of those kinds of things, you can store them over winter. However, they will not probably flower for you unless you plant them up in pots and, store them in a refrigerator. So you could just keep them dry and then check them in the spring. You know, any that are totally withered or squishy or whatever, those should be discarded. But if you have any that are solid, you can try planting them at that time. It's obviously not really recommended, but if you're in that situation, that's one way to handle it. The other way to handle it is basically forcing them by planting them in pots at the same depth that it's, you know, recommended that you would plant them outside, and then putting them in a refrigerator. You want to keep them moist, and you should check and see, like, some of them need 10 weeks, or some of them need 13 weeks, or some of them need 15 weeks. And then you take them out in the spring, let them flower, and then after they flower and the leaves have died, you can plant those bulbs then. So the second way is a little bit more work, but you do end up getting some flowers.
Okay. Well, thank you, Fred, for that call. Let's go now to Patricia and Anigo. Go ahead, Patricia.
Yeah, I have a large white pine tree, and it's shedding lots of needles, and I'm wondering about mulching those, or what's the best thing to do with those?
Oh, yeah. Pine needles can be great mulch. You can, you know, rake it up and store it somewhere, use it for paths. You could use it in, like for strawberries, you know, mulch in the spring with the pine needles. But it's a great resource.
They call it pine straw down south, right? They use it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have really long, I forget what the species is, maybe it's Pinus longifolia or something like that. But yeah, like these super long needles. Mm-hmm. And
I've used that before too, and I really like it, but you know, shipping that up here is kind of expensive. So,
a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So, go ahead and use that, Patricia. We are talking with Lisa Johnson. She is the UW Extension Horticulture Outreach Specialist for Dane County. If you've got a question, send an email, idrtalk@wpr.org. And this is Garden Talk, and we are going to be talking to you about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I am Jill Nadeau, and with me is Andrea Balistrieri. And just to remind you that the largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners like you. So this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to, especially ours. Take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I get that competitiveness from Larry.
That's fair.
He is very competitive.
Yes, but always in a good way.
Always in a good way, yes.
As you likely have heard, Congress did eliminate federal funding for public media last summer, and this is a challenge, but WPR is committed as ever to the communities that we serve. WPR is going to remain strong and vibrant service with your help right now. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to support all these great programs.
And if you think about it, in a single month, oh my gosh, there are hundreds of discussions on WPR radio. There's so much to learn, so many interesting people to meet in these topics. Amazing. And you get like news that you know you can trust. And when you support WPR with a donation, you make all of those conversations possible. So take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I think that is a very perfect example of how WPR is one of those places where you get more than you
pay for, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So maybe consider a gift of $2 a day to support all of that great programming that Jill just mentioned.
That's right. And you don't get much for $2 a day anymore.
No.
But, you know, here you get a lot. You get information from people that you can trust. And if you do give $2 a day, you know what that works out to? $60 a month. And you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Well, we agree, Bruce. Thank you so much. And you can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 if you agree. And you can make your donation there for this fall member drive. I'm Jill Najo, and I'm here with Andrea Balestrieri. Please join in with your gift right now. It is an essential service. This essential service of WPR is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
And if you have never given to WPR before, here is what to expect. It's a really short process. It's going to take just a few minutes. You answer some basic questions. We want your name, your address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Absolutely. That's it. That is very, very easy. So make your first donation to WPR. You will feel so good about it because listener support is a big part of what makes WPR happen. So many first-time donors will give us $10 a month. That's pretty doable. That's $120 a year. And all you have to do is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to do it.
And during this last day of our fall member drive, with a gift of any amount, you can get a new WPR sticker. Who doesn't love a sticker?
Sticker. Everybody loves a sticker. You know what my problem is with a sticker? I never know where I'm going to put it because, oh, I love this sticker, but do I put it on my computer? Do I put it over here? Oh, yeah, it's really difficult.
It is a tough call. And this one's cool. So you're going to want to put it somewhere where you're going to see it all the time, your gift of any amount, but you have to do it today during the last day of our drive, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And while you are at it, become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And join Holly in Green Bay, who says, I want to support the local radio programming that WPR brings to the people of Wisconsin.
Okay, if you want to join Holly in her wise observation, you can do it with your gift right now. It's powerful and really makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. And let's go back to Lisa Johnson right now. Lisa, we've got a couple more calls. Let's go to Lee in Green Bay right away. Hi, Lee. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering if Lisa knows how the cultivar Accolade Elm has been doing in resisting the Dutch elm disease.
Ah.
Oh, wow. That is an excellent question. I believe that's the one that I'd have to double check whether that's the one we have here in the teaching garden or not. And, of course, Laura Gell, our woody plant specialist, would be the real one to ask that question of. I don't know off the top of my head.
I think last time she was on, she or one of our other tree specialists said that it's actually doing pretty well. So, but Laura will be on with us again towards the end of the year, so we'll definitely ask her about that.
Yeah, there are a lot of different elm cultivars out there that have been bred for Dutch elm resistance and Dutch elm disease resistance. So I think there are a fairly good selection. I do know that the first ones that the breeding was done on, you know, like the Regal, is starting to have some issues now, but... And, you know, there are some other things that feed on elms as well, like Japanese beetles can sometimes be a problem. There's that new zigzag beetle that is elm leaf beetle that's feeding on the leaves. So the elms are kind of, they've got some challenges.
Yes, they do. But thanks for asking, Lee, and we'll try to cover that next time we have a tree expert with us. Let's go next to Mary in Madison. Go right ahead, Mary.
Just a moment.
Okay, well.
this call concerns a cultivar, I assume, of juniper. It's in a tree form.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, it's planted now, and if there's any advantage to planting it in the fall.
Do you know what kind it is?
It's just across the street from me, and I don't know if it's bare root or container.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, my advice in general for evergreens is not to plant in fall. The later that you get in the fall, the less able they are to get established. So, if it was early September, maybe, but it's far better to plant evergreens in the spring. They're just very susceptible to ending up with winter burn because they don't get established well enough before the winter hits.
Yeah, I've given up on that myself. I've had too many disasters planting anything in the fall.
Well, deciduous things should be able to be planted in fall just fine.
Oh, sure.
But,
maybe for you, Lisa.
except for, birches, red buds, Japanese maples, anything that's marginally hardy you don't want to plant in the fall, deciduous or not.
Yeah.
But evergreens, I just really shy away from in the fall.
And if you've planted new trees this year, maybe in the spring, you really need to make sure you water, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we got plenty of water in spring, but it has tapered off depending on where you are. I know some people are still getting good amounts of rain, but if you're not, do make sure that you're watering your plant at least an inch of water a week, and that should keep up for at least the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And you can continue to do that until it starts freezing, right?
Right,
ground
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, don't put your hose away too early.
Okay. And then, this weather has been so beautiful, and it feels like August almost, and it's almost October. What effect is that really, having all these warm temperatures so late in the year going to have on our plants?
Well, it shouldn't be a problem unless we have a precipitous drop in temperatures. When it goes from really warm to really cold, then the woody plants have a really hard time with that because they start going into dormancy based on a number of cues, one of which is day length, another of which is temperature. And when our temperatures stay warm, and then we have this huge drop, they're just not prepared. And so you can end up with twig dieback. You can end up with a lot of problems. So hopefully pretty soon now the weather will get the cue that, hey, it's time to start getting cooler and give us a kind of gentle
Wouldn't that be nice?
Off.
It does seem to go fast, doesn't it? Okay.
It doesn't.
We have time for one more question, and that goes to Jim in Wausau. Hey, Jim, what can we help you with?
Hey, you mentioned earlier bringing tomatoes in while they're still not fully ripe. They're still green. I have a tomato plant going crazy here with about 25 tomatoes, and they're all green. When you bring them in, how do you get them to ripen?
Yeah, so the best way is to put them in a paper bag, and do check them, make sure that nobody's starting to rot or anything like that. But this will concentrate the ethylene gas that they start to produce as they start to ripen. If you have a ripe tomato or ripening tomato that you can put in with the green ones, that will help the process go faster. But I wouldn't take the tomatoes off the plant until you have to,
So that means when there's a frost forecast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. The longer that you can keep them on there. Now, I've had to take off some of the bigger ones this year because there's been a darn bird that's been poking holes in them when they start to get big enough. So I've had to pre-harvest a few of them, but certainly they will do much better if they're left on the plant as long as possible.
Sure. Now, I have heard, never tried it myself, but you can wrap them in newspaper and put them under your bed.
I don't know why under the bed, but the newspaper but dark isn't necessarily needed. It's more just concentrating the ethylene gas.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to do is not to put them in the refrigerator. That not only stop ripening, but it also converts all the sugars to starches, and then you have a bland, mealy-tasting mealy textured tomato.
Never put your tomatoes in the refrigerator. I've got a question for you. My personal, I have a rogue pumpkin plant growing in my compost pile that just poked up about, oh my gosh, maybe 2 months ago. And I have a huge pumpkin on it. No idea where this came from, but it's super green. So is it going to get orange, or do I just, you know, go with the green?
You might have to go with the green at this point if it isn't showing any sign of ripening. But, you know, green's the new orange.
That's what I thought. They've got pink ones. They've got, you know, all kinds of different colors.
Yeah, there are some green ones. There's a green and yellow striped one called Lady Godiva.
Oh, yes. So. And I love the Cinderella one. There's so many different ones. They're amazing. So.
Yeah, they are.
They are. Well, Lisa Johnson, it has been a joy to have you with us once again. Thank you so, so much. And I'm sure we'll have you back again in a few months.
Thanks, Jill. I had a great time.
Okay, you take care. Oh, my gosh. So, Andrea, the time went really, really fast.
It did, but in a great way. There's so many good things to learn.
Absolutely.
I always realize, like, what I don't know that I probably should know.
You
like, about
I
not
both.
Putting my tomatoes in the fridge. I know
and,
better.
And you're gonna wrap them up and put them under your bed, right?
No.
I am going to find out if that's
true. I would
true.
Forget about them.
Oh, I know. I was like, what's that smell? So, I am talking to Andrea Balestrieri. She is here to tell you about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. And, of course, we are here to raise money that helps pay for the programs like this one, the ones that you really enjoy and count on. And, you know, support from people like you is the largest piece of funding for WPR programs. Your support means so much. So give, if you can, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It is so important.
And you are a WPR listener, so I'm sure that you agree. WPR is a valuable service for information and education, inspiration, and connection to Wisconsin. Congress rescinded funding for public media last summer, but the mission of public media remains as essential as ever. And that means that your support is more important than ever during this last day of our fall member drive. Let's keep WPR strong together and join in with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Andrea, WPR has been here for over 100 years. And with your support, we will continue to be here to help you with whatever you need when it comes to news or stuff like gardening, like we just talked about. I mean, so much great information there. How to save your tomatoes, because, you know, that always happens. You always have green tomatoes.
Yeah.
And you can only have so many green fried tomatoes, as good as they are. So, and remember, that is because WPR is listener supported. So that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and all the other hours possible, and choose an amount that works for you. It takes just a few minutes to make your gift.
And when you make that gift of, let's say, $15 or $20 a month, whatever amount is right for you, it's going to be really easy to set it up on your credit card or your debit card, or better yet, right from your bank account.
That's right. And reason being is because then we don't have any of those extra charges.
Yes, so more money will go
all your money
straight
comes,
to the program.
Right? I love that. So become a sustainer now if you want. Sustainer means that you support us every month, year after year. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my source
for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
And if you agree, give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I am Jill Nadeau. I am in for Larry Mueller on Garden Talk today. And visiting us is Andrea Balistrieri. And we're asking you to support the quality programming that you value on WPR with your gift right now during our fall member drive. Last day, it's time to do it. Your contribution of $10 or more a month, or maybe $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the beauty of it. It makes a difference for our entire community.
That's right. It really does make a difference for the whole community. And I think this drive has been a perfect example of that. We live in a generous society because it's been going so well.
Oh my gosh. And it's
because people are willing to help a neighbor or coworker in need and chip in for a good cause. Mm-hmm. And you can continue that support right now.
Because, you know, there were times I know when I couldn't afford to give and someone else gave and I so appreciated it, and now I'm trying to pay that back. So, and just remember, like Keith in Cicero, Illinois says, I always look forward to listening to WPR when I visit Wisconsin. You know, Keith, you could probably tune in wherever you are. And if you agree with Keith, why don't you give us a gift? It's powerful. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so, so much.